I want to talk about something tonight that has I have talked about with my dad before and others, and it's something that Christian people need to really get a hold of, because with the way Christian television is today, you need to learn to discern what to do and what not to do, right or you might want to call it right or wrong, when to give and when not to give. You know, you see many people are being influenced. They're trying to influence you to go in a certain direction. Now, they do this in the business world, trying to get you to buy their products. And there's nothing wrong with that. But in the church world, we got too many people saying too many things, trying to present that people should do this and should do that and should do the other. But, you know, you need to ask yourself, what is the right thing to do? Now, you know, we find people saying, in fact, I just was sitting thinking as I was thinking about this, how many people that I had seen over the past, since the 70s, that's when Christian TV really took off, was in the 70s. I've seen people come and go with all kinds of different doctrines, all kinds of different things. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And then, of course, I've been in this all my life, and I've seen those that come that they seem to be right, but they're not. You know, let me get started here. In Luke 9:51, it says, "Now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they, as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, 'Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did?' But he turned and rebuked them and said, 'You do not know what manner of spirit you are. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's life, but to save them.'" Now, the voice translation in that 55 and 56 says, "You just don't get it. The Son of Man didn't come to ruin lives of people, but he came to liberate them." You know, Jesus here, his disciples thought that with Jesus, they thought they were doing the right thing. But they didn't discern what it really was. You know, he had set his face, in other words, he's going to Jerusalem where he would face crucifixion. He had a mission. He came to save men, not destroy them. But his disciples didn't understand this, and consequently, the disciples came up with the idea. They thought it was good, but it was wrong. You know, in fact, Jesus went as far as to say, "You do not know what manner of spirit you are of." He was telling the disciples, they didn't know what, you're being influenced by the wrong kind of spirit. Now, have you ever been in a situation where you thought you were hearing was right, and it later turned out to be wrong? I'm talking about in the spirit world, spiritually. I'm talking about in the church world. I've seen it many times growing up in the church. Now, too many voices are out there today saying this, that, and the other. You know, trying to influence people to go in certain directions, get involved in certain things. And people do this, they get involved because they're just ignorant of the Word of God. Or they get excited about trying to do something for God and get involved, and they didn't realize that it was a harmful thing. You know, many people get involved, but they never recover. Some do recover, but they never get back to the place of God that they should. You know, it says in 2 Peter 2:1-3, "But they were also false prophets among the people, even as there was false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of the truth will be blasphemed. But covetousness they will exploit, or by covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. I want to read a little bit of this from the Message. It says, but there were also lying prophets among the people, just as they will be lying religious teachers among you. They will smuggle in destructive divisions, putting you against each other, biting the hand of the one who gave them a chance to have their lives back, talking about Christ. But they put themselves on a fast downhill slide to destruction. And they will recruit a crowd of mixed up followers who can't tell right from wrong. Now, it goes on to say in verse 2 that they will give the way of truth a bad name. They're only out for themselves. They'll say anything that sounds good to exploit you. They want, of course, get by with it. They'll come to a bad end, for God has never just stood by and let this thing go on. That's the voice there. Now, the early church, was hearing this. I have seen too many it wasn't long ago, several years ago, one of the TV channels, the religious channels, was showing some big meeting that was going on somewhere. And it went on for a while, and then when it all kind of finally come out to the end, the guy that was doing it was a fraud. Anybody remember that? I got a couple of people I think know what I'm talking about. I don't want to disparage anybody, but I have seen this over the years. People can get led astray really easy, especially in this area of giving in today's world. They got all kinds of gimmicks. If you give $1,000, this is going to happen. They tear a piece of paper in two and say, if you give $1,000, and then they tear the paper, your debt's broken. That's a bunch of nonsense. Somebody said, well, I don't like you saying that. Well, I'm telling you the truth. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. Just because you gave $1,000 and they tore that piece of paper in half and said your debt was broken, it's not. That's not even Bible. Amen. What I'm talking about is learning to look at the Word of God and just leave stuff like that alone. Just leave it alone. I never put pressure on to give offerings. But some people, that's what the reason they get up there and teach is to get an offering. That's what the Bible, we just read about that. Sometimes they ask you to do weird and bizarre things. Well, that's not Bible. I'm talking about people that are supposed to be spirit filled. They may have a spirit, but I don't think it's the Holy Spirit. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody understand where Pastor's coming from? Now, I'm just talking to my people tonight. I don't want y'all to get taken advantage of. Don't you as parents talk to your children to keep them from getting taken advantage of? Well, the pastor talks to his people to get them taken. I don't want you to get taken advantage of. Being in an extreme, unquestioning submission. And there's a lot of people that teach this submission. There is such a thing as submission and authority in the proper way. But they teach this emission business until you can't even buy a car unless they tell you that it's okay, or you can't change jobs and all of that. That's not right. Now, there was a big rise of this back a few years ago, and I started to see some of it creeping back in. It just got a little different package. How many of you remember the submission teachings that was a few years back? I mean, if you've been around long enough, like I have, but some of you have been in the charismatic move long enough to see some of this stuff. You know, sometimes people will come to you with a grandiose idea and wanting to get you to invest. And it never becomes a reality. The only pocket that ever got lined was the preacher that was talking about it. Come on now. I'm not trying to be down on anybody, but I don't want you to be taken advantage of either. How many understand where I'm coming from tonight? You understand what I'm trying to do tonight? You know, you need, especially be careful when people exalt themselves as examples for you to follow. No, you follow the examples of, you follow Jesus. You know. There for a while there, I don't know whether it's still going on. A lot of people, these ministers are going out and getting sons. Well, if you become one of their sons, you got to send them an offering every month. Well, I've got several people that I call my sons in the ministry, and I never require anything out of them. I'm here to help them if they want to call me for help. There's several young ministers that I consider as I help to put in the ministry. You see, that's the proper way. I'm here for them, but I don't require anything out of them. You know, we've been given the Spirit of God on the inside of us. And the Holy Spirit should learn how to follow and discern with the Holy Spirit. My dad used to say this all the time, son, don't discern people by how they look or what they say. Discern their spirits. Sometimes people have an ulterior motive for what they're doing. And if you've been around this as long as I have, I've seen too many preachers that did that. Remember, I've been involved with this since 39. I can take you all the way back to the mid-40s when Wigglesworth died, Amy Semple McPherson died, and Charles Price, the great Canadian evangelist, died. And then from there, I can carry you all the way to this present hour. I can take you through the Voice of Healing days, which Dad was a part of, which T.L. Osborne was a part of. Or he would come to their meetings because he'd already started his own thing. But those three wound up here in Tulsa, and those are about the only three that out of that great healing revival that ever went on to done anything. But you see, they didn't try to exploit. I was going to school at a certain school with one of those guys' son. He drove up in his brand new 55 Cadillac, and he was talking about how well he took an offering for orphanage, and he did send them some money, but he said, I bought me a new Cadillac with that money. Come on now. That's back in 55. Y'all wouldn't even know him. I know him personally, see. See, the Holy Spirit will show you stuff, and he will keep you straight if you'll listen to him. Anybody getting anything out of this? I got several ministers sitting here. There's Marcel Joseph, one of our ministers that travels out of this church. How do you judge this, Marcel? Good stuff, Pastor. Thank you. He didn't know I was going to do that. He could have said whatever he wanted to. Please understand, I am not trying to come down on anybody. I am trying to get, I see too many people in the body of Christ being led off down these rabbit trails instead of staying with the truth of God's word. Some of you Rhema grads that went back a few years ago, several years ago, you got a book called All Things Are Possible. How many of you remember that book, All Things Are Possible? It had everybody in there. In fact, Dr. Harrell, I sat with him. He was a professor at the University of Alabama in Birmingham. And he said there was nobody was recording the history of the charismatic movement. And that's what he did. And he had everybody in there. And one thing he said, and when it come to Kenneth Hagin, he said, he has never gone this way or that way. He has stayed straight, true to what he started teaching when he come off a bed of affliction. How many of you remember reading that in there for that? Hey, we need, but Dad always said, stay with the word. You know, see, when the Spirit of John 16:13 said, when the Spirit of truth, when he, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you in all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he has, he will speak, he will tell you of things to come. Here, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. Now, the Apostle Paul said in Acts 20:27, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. The Rhema translation says, for I have not shrunk from declaring to you the whole truth of God. You know, sometimes people will quote portions of scripture to prove their doctrine or take a scripture out of its setting. See, you need, when somebody is quoting, most of the time, if you hear somebody saying something, and you're sensitive to the Spirit, there'll be a little bit, oh, I don't know about that. How many know what I'm talking about? That's when you need to check it out. Make sure. You see, it talks about here, be sure and check it out. It says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, wait a minute. What word is proceeding from the mouth of God? Right here. This is your word that's proceeding from the mouth of God. You can get your answer right here. Come on now. You know, you can find a scripture and prove anything. See, there's a scripture that says that Judas went and hung himself, and then there's another one that says, go thou and do likewise. There are some people, you know, some people say, well, the Bible says there's no God. That's true, it does. But that's only part of the scripture. The rest of the scripture says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. That's Psalms 14:1. See, if somebody only quotes one verse or part of a verse for what they're teaching on, you need to see if it agrees with other scripture. A guy had done it to Dad, and a guy was talking to me one time, but I know that to Dad. He said, you're always saying, say. That Mark 11:23 says, say. He said, I don't see that. I said, how did you get saved? Well, Romans 10:9-10 said, if you believe in your heart and say with your mouth. And he goes, because that scripture coincides, right? Believe in your heart, say with your mouth. Isn't that what Jesus said? That's the way you get salvation. Isn't that what he also said there in Mark 11, 23? Same thing. You see, 2 Corinthians 13, 1 says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. Now, it takes a renewing of your mind to become a mature believer. The reason that many Christians are being taken down a path is that they have never matured. You know, have you ever heard somebody say, well, he's 30, but he's really 18. Anybody ever heard something like that? You know, somebody's age, but they say. Well, let's look here in Hebrews 5:12. I'm going to read it from the NLT version, New Living Translation. You've been believers so long that now you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those that have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. See, we need to grow up and mature spiritually. Amen. There's a wonderful book out there in the bookstore written by a fellow that I'm named after called Growing Up Spiritually. Anybody ever read it? It's a great book. If you haven't read it, how many of you have read it? Raise your hand if you've read it. How many of you highly encourage somebody who hadn't read it to wave your hand? See all these people, they didn't. I see some. Ron had up both hands over there. But that is the reason that many Christians are being taken advantage of, is because they have never grown spiritually so that they know how to discern what is truth and what is not truth, what to follow and what not to follow. You know, now we're going to go a little further in this. Anybody getting anything out of this? Now, I told you, I'm just going to talk to you tonight because I want to try to help you. The Holy Spirit will lead you to examine the fruit of a person who's trying to influence you. Matthew 7:20, by their fruits you shall know them. NLT says, yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. The voice of that, Scripture says, when prophet comes to you and preaches this or that, look for his fruit, sweet or sour, rotten or ripe. What do you look at when you want to see if somebody's right? Don't look at dress. Don't look at talent. Don't look at the charisma and the glitter. Are they sweet sounding words? Don't even look at spiritual gifts that are in manifestation. Somebody, wait a minute. No. Paul told the Corinthians that they were the most carnal bunch he ever seen. And yet they had all kinds of spiritual gifts going on. Just because somebody has some kind of spiritual gift manifestation is no sign that you need to follow. I didn't say it was a sign that you needed to either. You got to analyze it for yourself. The true source of someone's fruit is revealed in their person's lives and in the lives of the people that they have influenced before. You know, everything produces after its own kind. Apple trees produce apples. Wheat produces wheat. Corn produces corn. Pure produces pure. Godly seed produces godly fruit. Love produces the fruit of love. Now, God told us to start Rhema. Rhema is a Greek word that means spoken word, any spoken word. But we take it to mean the spoken logos or the spoken word of God. Now, Rhema started 44 years ago. Is there any good fruit? Has anything been produced? And what has been the main theme of all the Rhema people? Stay with the Word of God. What does the Bible say? Have we had some of our people go out and get off the deep end? Yeah. But that's not all, that's not our fault. That's not your fault. We're going to stay with the truth of God's Word no matter what. Somebody said, well, now you don't want to be judgmental. No, we don't want to be judgmental or critical or condemning. But you also have to realize what the Word of God says, and that is you shall know them by their fruits. You see, when you hear people talking about something, do the words the person is saying match the way they live and their actions? Are their words and deeds consistent? Or are they here one day and over here another day teaching this and teaching this this day and teaching this again? See, if you're in the Word of God, it's consistent. You're not off on this, running after this new spiritual fad or this one. I've seen all these spiritual fads come down the pike, you know. They get on the TV and they start talking about all of these different words. And now I don't even know where those people are. When I was growing up, people say, oh man, this is a new. No, it ain't. The people having oil and stuff. No, there's an old guy back when I was a teenager. Actually, I guess I was about 17 or 18. Maybe I just graduated from high school. Oh, we got to go over his meeting, man. You got to go to his meeting. All my buddies, whoa. And I went over and, you know, he had blood. He had oil dripping off his hands and all kinds of stuff. The minute I walked under that tent, because I've raised with a man that said, you judge, you don't judge that what you see, you judge. Man, I knew it wasn't right. And come to find out, it wasn't. Hello. And we got feathers flying around and gold dust. I don't see any of that in the Word of God. Come on. Now I want to tell you something. The devil has spirits, and he is a spirit, and he can do some things. If you don't believe it, you go to some of these countries where voodoo and spiritualism is practiced, and those witch doctors can make chairs come off of the ground. They do all kinds of that. Anybody ever been seen any of that? I've got a few people that's been there. But you see, that's just like Aaron. Those soothsayers and all of those guys with Pharaoh, they were staying right with Aaron until he reached down and picked his rod up that had turned into a snake. He picked the rod up and it turned back into a rod. They couldn't do it. See, what you got to realize is that the devil has a lot of counterfeit stuff. But if you stay with the Word, and if you know the Word, you won't get taken in. Now, most of us, if we're given a counterfeit dollar bill, most of us wouldn't even know it. But I have any people in here that are trained at the bank? Anybody? Y'all are trained to look for certain things, right? To identify a counterfeit. Now, I know it's counterfeit. In fact, many years ago, we were still down camp meeting downtown. Some of the people that come in from overseas and they landed in New York, and so they didn't go to the proper money exchange place. It just was some people there and they were changing money for them. And all of a sudden, the bank, one night we put the deposit in, and next day the bank called and said, "Man, we got a bunch of counterfeit $100 bills." So we had to go in and figure out, and we finally figured out where it was coming from. But these people got taken advantage of because every bill they had was counterfeit. And they didn't have no more money. They were trying to go around, circumvent the system instead of going to the proper place. Now, if you travel to foreign countries sometimes, and in certain countries, when you get off the plane, there'll be people trying to, "Hey, I'll exchange money for you. I say, "Thank you. Keep on walking. Go to the proper authorities." See, there's counterfeit. But let me tell you something. The real will last through the ages. The teaching of the Word of God, this Word that we teach, it's lasted. We hadn't changed one bit from the beginning. You see, John 16:14 says, "He," that is the Holy Spirit, "will glorify me," that is Christ, "for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things the Father has are mine." So we look here and we see that the Holy Spirit says that he will glorify Christ. If it doesn't glorify Christ, watch and see what happens to it. Don't get involved. Remember in Revelation, it says, and I'm going to read the NLT version. "Then I fell down," this is John, "then I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said, 'No, don't worship me. I am a servant of God just like you and your brothers and sisters who testify about their faith in Jesus. Worship only God, for the essence of the prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus.'" See, a God-inspired testimony will glorify Jesus. A prophetic utterance from the Spirit will point you to Jesus, not attract attention to man or a program. Ask yourself, when you hear something, does that lift up Christ? Some of you that have watched our Facebook Live and our online stuff out on the road when I'm on the road, after I have my healing line on the road, how many of you have watched what I do? I have them sing an old chorus about give the glory. Let's lift our hands and praise the Lord. They sing the chorus, and then I pray a prayer. I say, "No man be lifted up. Only Jesus be lifted up. Our Savior, our healer, our baptizer, our soon coming King. Only he be glorified." And then we sing it again. Let's just praise the Lord. You see, it's all because of God. God's word will help you to know what's right and what's wrong. The Holy Spirit always leads to joy and victory. See, Galatians 5, stand fast in the liberty where Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. See, the Holy Spirit will lead you in victory. If someone leads you and it leads you back to bondage or captivity or burdens you down, that's not a God. Yes, there's right and wrong. There's a right way to live and a wrong way to live, but it's not a gospel of do's and don'ts. It's a gospel of following what the Word of God says. How many understand what I'm saying to you? See, there's a lot of people, they instead of teaching the Word, they teach, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Until it's all condemnation. Well, the Word of God that tells you there are some things you don't do. But it goes on the other side and tells you the things that you do will bring blessings. How many understand what I'm saying to you? How many of you come out of some of that condemnation? Yes, there's right things to do and wrong things to do according to the Word of God. But we don't live under condemnation. We're therefore there no condemnation than which in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ, know who you are in Christ and know what you have in Christ and know what you can do in Christ, you won't be led astray by all these people. I wouldn't call this a message. I don't know what you call it. But I do know one thing, that it's good teaching to help people not to be taken advantage of by people that are claiming this and claiming that and claiming something else. I mean, I don't know how many times, not in this auditorium, but the old auditorium back in the day before the church ever started, somebody would bring somebody. Oh, man. They talk about this guy, and then they bring him in there. I walk in that back speaker's. They back there in the speaker. I walk in that speaker's room. Me and my wife walk in there, and I look at her, and she looks at me. I knew immediately, hey, uh-uh. I mean, back when I was traveling on the road with Dad, and even when I was on my own, people would, ministers would bring, oh, this is so-and-so. Oh, man, the minute they walk up, something on inside of me, I mean, and my mind said, oh, hey, wait a minute. This, that's just you. No, it wasn't. It was Spirit of God helping me. I didn't let them on my platform. Oh, they wanted me to let, and this person, oh, I would like to get up and give my revelation. Well, I made one of my friends and the guy with him mad, really mad one day, and I said, let me tell you a little secret. When God tells me to let you on my platform, I will. And they said, well, we know, we were told to come here and tell you that we need. And I said, not on my platform. I'm very careful who I let preach from this pulpit. You know why? Because I'm responsible for you. And some of you are mature. And you hear it, let it fall off of you like water off a duck's back because you've been around here, you're mature. But we got some young Christians. And they haven't matured yet. And I've found this out over the years. If a young Christian gets a hold of wrong doctrine, you almost can never get it out of them. Lord, I just talk to your people tonight out of my heart. because I've seen too many Christians being taken advantage of financially and every other way. Father, I pray that what we've said tonight will have been beneficial and helpful. And may no one take it as condemnation or judgmental. Father, may they receive it with the love in which it was delivered. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody stand up. I trust you got something out of this tonight. I wouldn't call it a message, but I would call it a pastor talking to his people. And I trust you understand where I was coming from. How many of you in recent years have seen a lot of junk go on? And a lot of good people. Some of you may have friends that got taken advantage of. But you don't have to get taken. You got the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, don't forget all the announcements. Sunday morning right here, I worked on a message that for Sunday out of the 11th chapter of Hebrews. It's called The Heroes of Faith. I hope it comes across as good as I liked it when I was working with it today. Wednesday's my study day, and I don't come to the office. I stay at home, and I get my work on my Wednesday night and my Sunday messages and get all ready. Because, you see, some say, well, you don't have nothing else to do. No, I got a whole operation around here that has to be run. And I have to go up in that office. And I've been gone out of the office for 3 weeks. Kim brought me in a stack of letters yesterday that high to be signed. I had to go check all those letters and sign them. I got a whole lot of other stuff. But Wednesday is my day that I study and prepare for tonight and for Sunday. And I'm excited about Sunday. Y'all going to be here. Heroes of Faith on Sunday morning. If you happen to be in this congregation tonight and you don't really know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, or you know what it is to serve God, but you know you're not where you need to be. You need to rededicate. Come on down here and talk to the ladies there, the men over here, and you won't leave here like you came. If you want prayer for any reason, you need to receive the Holy Spirit. You need prayer for any reason, come down to the front, and they'll pray with you right now. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, I'm not going to get taken advantage of. I'm going to discern with the Holy Spirit. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday morning right here. God bless. If you need prayer for any reason, come to the front right now.